and welcome to the Space Show, presented at the same time every week by the Space Association of Australia. Hello, I'm Peter Aylward, and on Mission Control tonight we have Mark and Mark, and we've also got our special guest Michael Abdillah along from the association as well, as well as two very young budding astronauts, and they're going to talk a bit later. So everybody, it's been a very busy week in the world of space, and our very own usual presenter Andrew Rennie has been flown over to the US, first class all the way, at great expense to the management, to give everybody a first-hand report on the launch of Space Shuttle Discovery to the International Space Station. Now that launch took place as planned, first go, no delays, no scrubs, nothing went wrong at all. It took off at 8:21 Melbourne time on Monday, and Andrew Rennie was there. It was a night launch in America, so it apparently was very spectacular. Now we're going to actually cross to Andrew. We're going to call him shortly in Florida, and he's going to give us a first-hand report on what he's been up to. Apparently, he's been very busy doing all kinds of reports and interviews, taking squeens of photographs and soaking up loads and loads of information, so it should be quite fascinating to talk to him.
He'll have a lot of information, I think, from this week. He's very excited to be over there, I think, wasn't he?
Yeah, you won't be able to shut him up. He's just running on adrenaline, I think, and he's having a blast.
Imagine. Might be a two-hour show.
Well, maybe, yes, maybe. He actually was all set to actually broadcast live the launch, but he just had problems with communication, so he just said, well, I'm just going to stop and I'm just going to enjoy the launch. But he'll explain all that to you later on.
What time was the launch at?
It was 8:21 p.m. Melbourne time.
Oh, yeah.
So, prime time. Unfortunately, Channel 9 didn't break into Dancing with the Stars and show it. I was very surprised about that. But
I am too. I would have put money on it that they might have.
Actually, speaking of Dancing with the Stars, but you may or may not know, the American version of that, Buzz Aldrin was in Dancing with the Stars. Buzz Aldrin,
oh,
for
really?
Those who don't know, was the second man to walk on the moon. He was on the mission with Neil Armstrong, and he's 81 years old or something now, and he was on Dancing with the Stars. So
how did he do?
Well, he stayed in the first week, but apparently I just heard today he got voted off.
Oh, so he's actually in the current series?
In American version, yeah. So, but he got voted off, and to be honest, he was a much better astronaut than a professional dancer, but...
He'd be worried he'd break a hip or something like that.
Yeah, that's
dancing
right.
At that age.
Yeah. So, Michael, did you manage to catch the launch?
I did, Peter. In fact, it was one of the few launches I've managed to get to see over the internet, because normally it's either at some ridiculous hour of the morning or I can't get the NASA TV to come up on the... or the broadband was down or something like that.
Yeah.
So, but it was a very spectacular launch and a lot of fun.
Yeah, yeah. You know, I know this is a fact. I spoke to Andrew a long time ago about this, and I said, oh, well, have you got cable TV? He said no. He rang up Foxtel and he said, if you put NASA television on cable TV, I'll subscribe. But they said, no, we don't do that. Although
That's a great idea.
Any of the cable companies can take NASA TV free. NASA doesn't charge for it, but I guess I don't figure it's enough of an audience out there to warrant it.
Mm. I can honestly admit I didn't actually watch the launch on the internet or anything.
Mark.
Why not?
Mark.
I'm disappointed.
You're telling me that
you
just found out tonight the launch actually took place? Is that what you're telling me?
You're telling me a launch did take place, did it?
Yes. Weren't you listening last week?
It's your cold.
I do know that.
I told
that.
You this.
I do know that, yeah.
I did tell you. Believe me.
Yeah.
So he'll be ringing in about 7:30?
About 7:30, that's right, yeah. Yep.
So we're going to keep chatting a bit about space.
Sure. So actually, just as we got here... I just checked and they had just docked with the space station. So this mission is to link up with the space station and connect with it and transfer a whole lot of cargo and materials. And so they just docked about an hour ago.
It is currently 7:30. We've got our regular host of the show, Andrew Rennie, on the line.
Andrew is in the US at the moment and he saw the Space Shuttle Discovery blast off on Monday. And we hope he's there. Andrew...
Hello, Andrew.
Hello, Andrew.
Hello.
Well, Well, we got you finally. So thanks very much. Andrew Rennie, you're over there in Florida. Welcome to the Space Show.
Thank you. I'm pleased to be on air finally.
If we can put a man in the moon, surely we can put Andrew Rennie to air. So, Andrew, tell me, you've had a big week so far.
Oh, it's exhausting. Hectic is the word.
Right, and so you managed to see Discovery take off on Monday?
I sure did.
And was it a bit boring and ho-hum or what? Tell us about your day. What happened?
Even the folks who had seen it dozens of times before were awestruck by this particular launch. It was magnificent, in a word. Let's go back a few days. They had rolled the vehicle out to the pad on time. There had been a small problem with a few things, including a glitch in the fuel cells, but they decided it was just a switch-on momentary thing, and they decided that was not a problem. And then the day before the launch, they rolled back the rotating service structure. That's a sort of a cocoon that surrounds the payload bay of the shuttle so that they can change out payloads in the clean room environment without getting all that Florida salt air in the inside.
Mm-hmm.
And they and the mosquitoes that infest this place.
Wonder how many mosquitoes have been taken.
They managed to close that out, and then I was there right beside the shuttle when they rolled that back. And what a sight. This grey structure slowly trundling back on rollers in a semicircle and exposing the gleaming white shuttle. Just, I was about 300 metres away from it, and what a sight as it slowly revealed itself. There was a bit of a joking about the slowest striptease ever, but it was there, and the orange fuel tank visible behind, and the white solid rocket boosters. Of course, the black belly of the shuttle was facing away from us.
Uh-huh.
So I never saw the black side of the shuttle, and dozens and dozens of news media there with cameras going and television going and people doing internet link-ups and things. And it was quite a thing. And we were there for about, an hour or more. And then we went back to the press centre, which is quite a distance away, about 5-6 kilometres. And then I got off the bus. NASA provides little buses, quite intriguing things, and intriguing that they're ancient.
It's a government operation.
Correct program days in the 1960s, but they, I was getting off, and the media liaison guy there, he looked at me and he said, you didn't get the pictures you want, did you? Wink, wink. And indicated I should get back on the bus. What's going on here? And anyway, another four or five people got on, the oldest of the buses, we trundled back out to the launch site again. We spent another half hour out there, at least half an hour, and this time I was able to get even closer.
Wow.
Because they weren't as worried with so many media there, they weren't worried. So I got even closer.
Fantastic.
So I got some more telephoto shots of the vehicle, and it was so close that I couldn't get the whole thing in one photo.
Wow.
I had to take a series of photos to get the thing in. So that was quite a thrill to be able to see that shot.
So tell me,
sorry.
Could you see the wick at the bottom of the space shuttle where they light it to blast it off, or what?
Yeah, it's a big one, actually. It's a pretty big one. And, but the amazing thing is they allow trucks and things just pick up, Americans call pickup trucks, and these four-wheel drive van things, to drive right up underneath the shuttle.
Wow.
Well, it's sitting there fueled on the pad. Actually, the external tank wasn't fueled at this stage, but the solid rocket boosters are live. And this is just a few hours before liftoff.
Wow. So tell me, the launch itself, it was a nighttime launch, is that right, Andrew?
It was a dawn launch.
So it was dark?
It was about an hour before sunrise. It was dark. And although my photo showed a bit of a lightning in the sky because of the way the camera enhances the light, but it was sitting there in the distance, not sure how far away we were, about 3-4 maybe kilometres away, and that's pretty close for this sort of thing. And then the countdown went on, and then suddenly this enormous light, and the thing shot up so fast. I've seen it on video hundreds of times, and it seems like it goes slowly, but this was really fast, and an incredibly intense white light, and it just rose silently up.
Right.
There's clouds and clouds of smoke coming out to the sides at this time, silently up, and then it arched over and headed away from us, up, and then the noise came. Deep throbbing noise that made your chest pound. Someone here, someone in as far away as Orlando and at Kissimmee, which is about 20 kilometres south of that, and now Orlando is about 90 kilometres from the launch site, and they heard it.
Wow.
They said they don't normally hear it that far inland. For some reason, with the clear air and the still air and dawn, the sound carried better. Then it went up, and of course it's still in darkness.
Okay.
It went up, and eventually, because it was an hour before sunrise, eventually it got up about 20 kilometres, and it went into sunlight.
Right. Wow.
And nice. But we could still see it heading downrange away from us, but this huge pool of cloud and swirling things from the solid rocket boosters which separated, they all caught the light. And then for the next hour, there was this amazing sky show with purples and greens and blues and intense white of the plume at high altitude, still, you know, catching the sun. Whereas down lower, the clouds from the exhaust were still dark, and they drifted off to the west inland, past the behind the vehicle assembly building, and hung around there for ages and ages. But upstairs, the sky show just went on and on and on, and it still wasn't finished when the dawn came an hour later. And I got some photographs of the countdown clock showing that the time since liftoff and the dawn and the sun rising.
Fantastic.
And then they were going to have a press conference, so I left the sky show. I call it a sky show. You know, it's this amazing pictures in the, of cloud colours and things in the sky.
Yeah.
And it was still there when I went to the press conference with the launch director and the other people who were involved in the launch.
Right. So everyone was very happy, I take it?
Everyone was so
wrapped. It was a successful launch,
no
issues?
People who had been to launches before said this was the best they had ever seen.
Wow. So could you smell the fuel, the burnt fuel or anything like that, Andrew? Or was it the wind blowing away from you?
We were warned if the wind was going a certain way that we would have to take shelter.
Right.
In bunk, you know, sort of in an air-conditioned room or in inside a car or something, and that the car would get coated in this dust and it should be washed down as ASAP, and that if people use dust covers over their cars, that they should fold the dust cover inwards so that the dust was contained within the dust cover after they took it off. But no, the dust plume went the other way, so we didn't get coated in the exhaust particles. It's mainly aluminium oxide and stuff like that that comes out of the shuttle boosters.
Right. Well, Andrew, it's very early in the morning over there, and you probably haven't heard, but they just about 2 hours ago successfully docked with the space station. So that part of the mission is progressing well, although they do have an antenna problem where they can't communicate as well as they'd like to, but they're using alternate communication paths to keep up to date and send down pictures, etc. But from what we hear, everything sounds like it's going to according to plan.
Oh, right. Yep.
Now, also for you, Andrew, while you're on air, I've sent you an email, but the solid rocket boosters that you you talked about before, the white solid rocket boosters, as people may or may not know, they've actually recovered and reused, and they come down on parachutes after the launch. They're burnt out about 2.5 minutes into the flight, and they come down into the ocean, and they fill them full of air and bring them back to port. And so, Andrew, this morning, your time, they're going to be coming into port, so you might want to shoot down there and maybe take some pictures for the website and for the next meeting, perhaps. I'll give you the times, if you like, later.
Yes, I got that message, and you said it was going to be 7 o'clock and 9 o'clock my time.
Right. So you've been heading out and doing a lot of other things, I hear, as well?
Yes. Yes, I actually flew aerobatics in a military aircraft.
Oh, wow.
Yesterday.
Fantastic.
Very nice.
And I used to have a pilot's license years and years and years ago, but never ever did aerobatics. And I was doing aerobatics in this T6 Texan, they call it, although over in New Zealand they called it a Harvard. And you still see the Harvard flying at air shows occasionally, but this plane is a military trainer aircraft. And I got to fly aerobatics for half an hour. I did rolls, barrel rolls, and loop to loop, and all sorts of things.
Well, the guys at NASA might have caught onto that. They might need pull you on board if you need an extra pilot backup for the satellite.
Mm-hmm. Oh, well, I hope that NASA would see that, you know, my flying, and say, okay, you can go up the next mission, but I don't think they'll do that somehow.
So we've got Michael Abdilla here, Andrew, as well. You know Michael quite well.
Yes.
Hi, Andrew.
Hello, Michael.
Yes. Well, you've got a bunch of guys here about to turn green with envy as opposed to blue, not only for witnessing the launch so close at hand, but also your aerobatics as well, so that's fantastic.
Yes. I have one story about a fish that got away that may interest people.
Sure. Okay.
Just before the launch, I was booked down to interview two astronauts. One was Mike Foll, whose origin was British, became an American and flew and has flown 6 times in space.
Wow.
One of those, well, two of those flights, which are the Mir space station, the Russian, the what was then Soviet but later Russian space station, and he's been up to the International Space Station. So I was able to chat with him about what it was like comparing the two space stations. He's also flown up on board shuttle and aboard the Soyuz spacecraft, so I was able to chat with him about what that was like and comparing those. And then as we were talking, the space station, International Space Station, flew over the Kennedy Space Center, and we had a little monitor there with NASA TV, and we looked at it, and we both upped and went outside and looked at it going over. And someone called out, recognized Mike Foll, and they said, "Hey, Mike, you don't need to look at this. You've seen the inside." So there's a guy, I was standing right beside the guy who had been aboard the space station and lived there. Now, Mike spent about a year and a half in space. I can't remember exact days, but about a year and a half. About that sort of time, don't quote me exactly on that, in space. Now, that's the one that I got. I was also booked shortly before the shuttle liftoff to speak to Kay Heyer. Now, Kay was on the last shuttle mission. Now, I got to say hello to her and all that, but I had to pass up the opportunity for an interview because she was late getting to the launch site, and my interview time had supposed to be 5:30, an hour before the launch. And, you know, she rocked up a bit late. I knew before that she was actually going to be late, and I had to pass up the chance to interview her because the interview slot that slid down the timeline from 5:30 was going to be during the actual shuttle launch. And I said, okay, much as I respect Kay and intensely desire to speak with Kay, I've come to see the shuttle launch and hopefully do a live broadcast on Southern FM, which didn't happen because what happened was my phone kept on ringing. And
that would have been Peter trying to contact you, was it?
Yes, well, the phone kept on ringing. It actually rang while I was talking with Mike Foll, I sort of embarrassed, yeah, like someone, you know how you feel like a naughty boy, your phone rings at an awkward time, and I explained what it was supposed to put me on live to air.
Right.
But we couldn't make contact. Somehow I couldn't hear what was being said or anything. So that didn't happen. The live broadcast didn't happen. So my apologies to anyone who was trying to thing, but I tried up to 20 seconds before the launch to make this contact, and that T-minus 20 seconds, I said, that's it. I put the phone in my pocket, picked up the camera, and instead took photographs.
Fantastic.
Which I'd been advised not to do.
That's right.
I'd been advised to stand and watch it. Well, you know, I'm not the one to take advice either. Actually, I do take advice, but, you know, I was going to get my photos, and I'm quite glad I did, because I was able to point the camera but still look eyeball to eyeball at the shuttle,
right,
and sort of point the camera in the general direction, which means the photos are not going to be the best photos in the world, but they're mine.
Sure. Mm. So tell me, Andrew, you're there for a while. How long is the mission, and what are you going to be there to watch it land?
The mission's going to be around about 10-12 days, and I'm booked in to watch the landing at the landing site. Which again, very few people can get to see, and also, well, a few other things that are going to be happening as well.
Right.
Now, there is a rocket launch going to be happening about April 19, and I hope to be in the area for that. Now, it's a military launch of a new space plane that is supposed to be secret, and sort of the secret leaked out a bit. And it's going to be up on a rocket called an Atlas V. And I've seen the rocket. You could actually see the rocket from the Kennedy Space Center. And it's sitting there on the pad and waiting to go. And April 19 is the launch date of that, if it goes on time. And I hope to be in the area to see that. It's unlikely I'll be able to get in real close, because it's a military area. But I should be able to see it from the beach or even from the Kennedy Space Center, perhaps. It's still unsure what will happen there.
Right. Well, that's fantastic, Andrew. And also, one other thing, I hear that President Obama is going to be coming down to the Kennedy Space Center
to talk about
the plans for the space program. So, you're going to be around for that?
I don't think any media are going to be allowed. As far as I can figure out, he's going there to talk to the Kennedy Space Center workers to hear their concerns about their job, basically their job prospects, I gather, and that is going to be a closed shop. I don't know if any American media will even get in, let alone foreign media like me, but yeah, it's a bit hush-hush at the moment what's going on there, but there's a few references to it in the press conferences that I know Peter's been listening to. And yeah, a lot of media asking what's going to happen, what will you do, what will replacement, will there be more shuttle flights? And it's quite obvious that the people here want to fly more shuttles, but, you know, they accept that it's been done. And really, realistically, they're too far down the track now in closing out the program to reopen it. Yeah, if they could technically reopen it, and they've kept options open as far as they can, but really they're going to have to do a lot of work and spend a lot of money if they are going to restart, say, even do a fifth, you know, they're talking about their fifth flight. In other words, there are four left, counting the one that's going now, and there was a lot of wishful thinking about getting a fifth flight and whether it would, and the people in charge of doing this, I spoke to them, are realistic. They know that it won't happen. There won't be a fifth flight or any more shuttle flights because of the cost. Technically, they can do it, but to reopen the things, once they get to a certain point, they close down the things, the workers start to disperse, and very quickly they'll lose the skill base to keep flying shuttles.
Right.
So it's just not going to happen. Realistically, although, you know, if Obama said, yeah, okay, you can fly another one, they could, but it was going to cost them a lot of money, much more than the usual shuttle mission to do that.
Right.
Well, it's going to be very interesting to see what happens. I've heard read a few things about, you know, possible announcements he's going to make to go with some plans to run the shuttle on a lower flight rate or do some other things to convert the shuttle to a heavy lift vehicle, unmanned, and maybe keep building the constellation or the Orion capsule, which was the capsule that was going to be used, but just make it suitable for Earth orbit. So a lot of people think, well, he's going to go down to Florida. He's got to say something positive. Otherwise, I don't think you'll make it out.
It could be wishful thinking, though, on the part of some people.
It could be, but
it'll be interesting to see what happens.
Well, listen, Andrew, we better let you go. You've got to get your beauty sleep or try to go and see those boosters. We're going to speak to you next week.
Okay, yes.
All right, well, that'll be great to keep track with what you've been up to, and it sounds like you're having a great time. So thanks again, Andrew, and we'll catch up real soon. And for listeners, and we'll be on again next week with Andrew. We've got a couple more minutes of the show left now. We'll also the Space Association has a website, which is www.space.asn.au, and once Andrew gets back and gets himself unpacked, we'll start to upload some of the pictures that Andrew's taken on his trip, and you'll be able to see those. So
thanks, Andrew.
Thank you, Andrew.
Okay, bye bye.
See ya.
Bye.
Well, there you go.
That sounds very happy.
Oh yes, I think he's even might have trouble getting him back. I think
absolutely. Yeah. I think all his Christmases have come at once.
Oh, happy's luck, yes. Well, we can only hope. But we'll have to get going because we've got the next show coming in. So thanks, that was the Space Show. We'll see you again or hear you 7 o'clock next week. And we've got
Purple Haze coming up with a new presenter.
Thanks, Michael. Thanks, Mark.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you, Mark, Peter.
See ya.
Bye now.